And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 6 minutes past 9. It's Thursday, the 5th of October. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed. And we welcome you on board for the next 3 hours here on the 9 to noon show. And you can just sit back in your car, in your office, at home, and just listen. But if you're so inclined and you want to get involved in the conversation, please feel free to whip out your mobile phone and WhatsApp or text us to 086 6025000, and keeping in mind that if you prefer to send a voice message to that number, then do so on WhatsApp. If you want to give us a call, Caroline is chomping at the bit. 07491 25000. We want to hear what you want to talk about too. And if email is your thing, from anywhere in the world, of course, it is comments@highlandradio.com. And we've got a very visual show today. So if you want to hop on board and watch it, we have every day, but just today in particular, I think, feel free to open up the YouTube app on your smart TV or your Fire Stick and put in Highland Radio Ireland and watch us live there on your big screen. And you can watch us on YouTube and our Facebook pages, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, on your laptop, tablet and mobile devices. You know yourself, but we want you involved whichever way you do. We really appreciate it. It is a Thursday morning, which means there's loads of papers out this morning. So let's have a run through what's making the headlines. The Tyrconnell Tribune leads with a farming story, as new figures show an increase of almost 40% in the number of dairy cows in Ireland in the last 10 years. Farming interests say there's a very real prospect of the nitrates derogation being lost entirely. These concerns have emerged with the new stats from the Irish Cattle Breeding Federation showing the number of dairy cows in the country has increased by 456,000 since 2013. Spokespersons say this increase is close to 40% and it poses real challenges for the industry in retaining any derogation from the EU. We're going to be talking about that a little later on in the programme. In fact, quite soon in the programme, so stay tuned for that. The Donegal News this morning. The parish priest in Milford said he's been truly taken aback by the generosity of the local community, who have responded to an appeal for help for essential repair works at the town's St Peter's Church. Parishioners in Milford were faced with a potentially chilly winter when the boiler at the church broke several weeks ago. Replacing the old boiler that was over 2 decades old was going to set the parish back over €10,000. And as Milford Parish Priest Father Stephen Gorman told the Donegal News, this was money that they simply did not have. And he recently took to the altar and humbly pleaded with parishioners asking for donations to cover the costs. And just 3 weeks after making his appeal, Father Gorman said the parish have donated over €6,000, which is a very generous amount, no doubt. The Donegal Democrat this morning. Creeslaw will fall silent on Saturday, 1 year on from a tragedy that claimed 10 lives in the Donegal village. At 3:17pm on October 7th last year, an explosion ripped through the Apple Green complex. 10 people, including 3 children, were killed. Rescue workers and volunteers worked through the night. A rescue operation became one of the recovery as a grim reality took hold. And on Saturday, the first anniversary, a memorial service and commemoration will be held on the site of the blast at 3pm. Saturday evening's vigil mass will take place at St Michael's Church and will be offered in memory of the 10 and in thanks to all who responded, by Father John Joe Duffy. And I just want to mention something posted by Father John Joe as it relates to that remembrance service. I just want to bring it up because it's important and just mention it while we're talking about it. The families are respectfully asking that this be a time for them, for our communities and for those who responded. All who responded on Saturday 7th, in the days thereafter and since, are very welcome to attend on Saturday at 3pm and Mass at 7:30pm. All who are from neighbouring communities, the services and all impacted by the tragedy are welcome to attend. And obviously here we're keeping our respectful distances as well, as you'd hope you'd expect. The Derry News this morning. Derry City and Strabane District Council has been told by the housing executive it's run out of options and is placing children in the non-standard accommodation. Housing executive chief executive Grania Long said it only seen as last resort option, but has happened too many times. She was speaking at the council's governance and strategic planning meeting on Tuesday. Let's go to the Nationals now. And Minister for Media Catherine Martin has indicated that the government might be willing to reverse its decision to retain the TV licence in light of the Ryan Tuberty pay controversy and the rapid decline in RTE's income since the summer. At a meeting of the Oireachtas Media Committee yesterday, Ms Martin said the change of fortunes for the national broadcaster had changed her mindset over the future funding of public service broadcasting. In June 2022, the government rejected the central recommendation of the Future of Media Commission that the TV licence be scrapped and be replaced by direct exchequer funding. Ms Martin commissioned a technical working group and set out options for modernising and reforming the finance, the licence without scrapping it. It's reported its findings earlier this year, but the government paused any further work on the issue over the RTE payments controversy arose, or once it arose. Now, just don't think for a second that if it so happens that the licence fee is scrapped, that you won't pay for the services. What hiss on my headphones? I wonder what that is. Maybe it's just the headphones, but I know it's slightly distracting. But you'll end up paying it one way or other through a revenue collected charge or through direct taxation. We were speaking about gambling earlier this week. We dedicated Monday Matters to it. We recognise and have for quite some time that it's a major issue. It's often goes under discussed, I think, underreported, but it has a huge and devastating impact on the person who's addicted to gambling, but quite often those around them as well. And just by coincidence this week, the ESRI has published new research which shows 1 in 30 adults have a problem with gambling. 1 in 30 adults, which is really quite significant. Problem gambling is 10 times more common in Ireland than previously thought, with 1 in 30 adults suffering from negative experiences associated with betting. New research from the Economic and Social Research Institute found problem gamblers were each spending on average more than €1,000 a month on gambling. €1,000 a month. The research strongly suggests that the prevalence of problem gambling here is far wider than previously understood, and that significant amounts of industry profits are coming from people who are struggling with gambling. The ESRI found that almost half of the $5.5 billion spent on gambling every year is estimated to come from people who are experiencing multiple negative effects from gambling. €5.5 billion gambled in this country every single year. Isn't that remarkable? Let's go to the Farmers Journal now. And forward store cattle are making upwards of €3 a kilogram this week, a €100 a head lift on the same week last year. The store cattle trade is being described as on fire, with a combination of Northern Ireland buyers and Southern beef finishers competing for forward stores. Exports of Irish weanlings are running 40% ahead of last year, with increased interest for cattle coming from North Africa and the Middle East. A disease outbreak in Portugal and Spain has forced North African countries to source cattle elsewhere, and it seems farmers in Ireland are benefiting. On to the Nationals now, and a really quite bizarre story out of the Irish Daily Star. A serving Garda is at the centre of a criminal investigation for allegedly harassing another member of the force, including with bananas, it's emerged. The Star has established that the officer is alleged to have tormented the female Garda with bananas after learning she had a phobia of the fruit. It's alleged he used bananas as part of an ongoing campaign of harassment and stalking against the female officer. The alleged harassment is of a very serious nature, a source told the paper. And sources have told the paper that Garda detectives began a criminal investigation into a complaint against the West of Ireland officer earlier this year. And the paper's established that investigators are now preparing a file to the Director of Public Prosecutions for it to consider whether the officer should be charged with harassment of the female Garda as well as with criminal damage. That relates to an incident in which it is alleged he broke into the female officer's locker at a West of Ireland Garda station as part of an alleged campaign of harassment against her. Now, the pair knew each other, but the female officer did not want a relationship with the suspect, and he is then alleged to have begun harassing her over a lengthy period, pestering her. It's understood he regularly left bananas in Garda cars that he knew the female officer would be using, as well as in rooms at the station. At one stage, a more senior officer brought the Garda into an office to speak to him about his alleged behaviour, but he claimed he had a banana on his head the whole time the meeting took place. So he was harassing this female guard with bananas, leaving them in the cars, and just generally waving bananas in her face, it seems. And then when he was interviewed about the incident, he sat throughout the investigation, throughout that interview, with a banana on his head. Right. And that is literally a story in the newspapers today. It is bananas. It's a very interesting phobia, though. I suppose there are people out there that have particular phobias. Most it's heights or spiders or rats or mice. Do you have a particular phobia? Not making light of that story for a second, but do you have an unusual phobia? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Do you have an unusual phobia? If you want to give us a call, it's 07491 25,000. Get involved in that conversation. The Sun this morning: the Samaritans received an average of 1,400 calls a day last year. 1,400 people rang the Samaritans every day last year. Demand for their help rocketed by more than 10% in 2022. The Samaritans Ireland Impact Report for 2022 was launched yesterday. It revealed the number of calls answered rose by 45,000 last year, with their volunteers spending some 65,000 hours on the phone providing support. So that is a huge level of demand for those services. And Euro 28, the footballing competition, will be in Ireland. Ireland legend Ray Houghton is delighted Ireland and the UK are set to host Euro 2028. The player turned pundit, who's 61, believes the news, which is expected to be officially confirmed next Tuesday by UEFA, will inspire a generation of young football fans. He also said the prestigious tournament will be an opportunity to showcase Ireland to supporters from around the world and could make the Emerald Isle a go-to holiday destination. And the real reason Ireland and Britain are going to be hosting it is because Turkey, who were also in the running, withdrew their application. Okay, look forward to that. Maybe even get down to see a game. Wouldn't that be cool? Right, 086 60 25,000, WhatsApp and text to that number, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. Now, as you know, we've been covering changes to the nitrates levels here on this program for some time. Minister Charlie McConnell says in a statement, "I sought maximum flexibility from the EU Commission in relation to the reduction in the maximum limit to 220 kilogram per hectare. When it became clear that it was not possible to change this requirement, I moved quickly to bring clarity to farmers impacted by the reduction from next year." And a final map has been published. We're joined by Paul O'Brien, IFA Environment Chair. Good morning to you, Paul. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to you listeners.
The final map has been published. I think there's three pockets of areas, small enough really relative to what's going on elsewhere in the country, in Donegal affected by this. So just to give us some context, why would we have these smaller areas in Donegal impacted by these cuts?
Okay, well, Greg, you know, we're now in our kind of our fifth nitrates action plan, starting back from 2005, and it runs every 4 years normally with 2-year reviews. And look, all of the time, I suppose, fine-tuning what we're doing as farmers. Since 2018, we've had to, I suppose, farmers who are in derogation, who are farming over a figure of 170. So I'm going to be throwing lots of figures at your listeners today, but everyone can farm up to a 170 kgs of organic nitrogen per hectare. If you wish to farm over that, up to 250, you have to apply for a thing called a derogation. So there's more stringent controls on you. You have to do considerably more measures on your farm, upwards of 30 measures above and beyond what is requested of normal farmers farming under 170. So it's a very well scrutinized, I suppose, process, and farmers have become very, very used to that. In order to allow you to farm between 170 and 250, you know, you have to do these measures and have to try to improve water quality. And farmers have done that. So, Greg, I suppose the question is, there has now been a view that some of the water quality hasn't been improving quick enough. Now, I would dispute some of that, because we do have, compared to the rest of our European counterparts, fantastic water. We have probably the fourth best quality water in the whole of the EU. Maybe 10 times less problems than other European countries, particularly the heavy industrial countries. But bringing it down to the three pockets that are probably in Donegal. There's one fairly substantial one, probably just northwest of Letterkenny, mm-hmm. and there's a couple in the Inishowen Peninsula. And really at that stage, why they've been highlighted is that, you know, they're now dropping to 220 from this 250. So it will impact farmers in the area, there's doubt about it.
And just so for people outside the industry are aware, so the areas then outside of those pockets in Donegal, what rules apply to them?
So every farmer who... So there is this new map. So this new map means that farmers in that in these shaded areas or in the purple areas on this map, they can only farm up to a maximum level of 220 kgs. Mm-hmm. So if they were previously farming at 250, they will have to take actions, whether that's a moving of slowing from their farm to other parts of the county where they're able to receive that slowing, whether that's a reduction in herd size, and I would be totally against that, or other measures.
Land acquisition, presumably, would be one of them as well.
And in a county like Donegal, where every square inch of land is farmed, that's going to create considerable pressure. You know, you have a tillage sector up in Donegal, and what we can't have is a competition from dairy farmers trying to gain land on the land rental market and push out other parts of the industry, particularly the tillage and particularly, say, the dry stock farmers who need a certain level of farm holding just to become, I suppose, economically secure and be able to give an income for them and their family.
Yeah. So what will this, the majority of farmers that are affected, I presume, are, you know, small to medium sized holdings. What impact will it actually have on them in terms of income changes? And we also have to be conscious that many of these farming families or businesses may have loans leveraged against their income. They may have recently got bought new machinery, whatever it might be. You know what I mean? So it's not like they're sitting there, you know, with zero outlay on their assets and all that kind of stuff. This, you know, this is like someone in full-time employment being told they're getting a 10 or 20,000 per year pay cut and wondering, well, how am I going to meet my bills? It's the same really for farmers. So what kind of an impact do you imagine this might have on your average farmer in these shaded areas?
My father used to say to me, and he was a very wise old man, farmers buy themselves a job. So you have to put money in to try to get a living back. You know, at the top of the show, Greg, you talked about 456,000 new cows, dairy cows, that are now in the industry that were not there maybe 10, 15 years ago. Once milk quotas became abolished, or there was the signal from the European Union that quotas were going to be going in 2015, the industry stepped up. The industry was on handcuffs from the early 1980s. So there was always going to be a considerable pent-up demand. It was government policy at the time to drive agriculture and expansion, basically because the rest of the country's economy was down. We had come off the back of a very, very difficult period of economic, and we all know about the Troika, and we all know about that. But agriculture was seen as the green shoots, the shining lights of the industry. So there was always going to be expansion of some shape or form. But I think the problem is, Greg, is that now we've been asked to put a handbrake on the Titanic. And this is the problem. You know, I would strongly dispute a lot of the figures that are coming from the EPA. I'm not going to knock them. They've been given a job to do by the commission, which would suggest you have to find a trend. But you can't find a trend on two points of a graph. A trend is over a longer period. Mm. And I do think, Greg, that the problem that we have now is that we've been asking farmers now to completely, you know, have to redesign their farming models with only a few months to go until they have to start designing this model. And it's very unfair on our farmers.
But the circle that people struggle to square in all of this is the fact that, you know, we could be importing milk into this country. The fact that this is about the environment, and we get that, but we could end up seeing beef being imported from as far away as Brazil into Europe and then finding itself onto Irish shelves. The environmental impact of that. And your average person will look and say, well, right, okay, we all have to do our bit, right? But we are also still going to be consuming this produce, and instead of it being you know, grass raised, and us actively working to farm in better ways and to protect our waterways as much as we can, without actually proof how much the farming industry is contributing to the problems that we have, we are going to effectively destroy an industry, as some would see it. I'm not saying that's the case. But at the same then, we're going to start eating beef with, you know, thousands of air miles on it, trees cut down to accommodate its grazing, frozen, God knows, not knowing where it's from, not knowing its quality. We're going to lose brand Irish. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be in the farming industry to wonder how any of that makes sense. Other than maybe our sacrifice to the EU is our fishing industry. Our sacrifice to the EU project is our farming industry. And we'll become just really covered in solar panels and hosting big tech. Is that really our cut of the EU pie?
Well, look, I'm very positive about farming and farming credentials. We have the most sustainable grass-based system in the EU, and that's recognised. We have the lowest carbon footprint for our dairy industry, CO2 levels per litre of milk. We've the fifth best for beef. So our credentials stand up to anybody, any scrutiny. If you do this thing, and you're alluding it to, it's called carbon leakage, Greg. So if you allow other countries to gain access to our markets who have less sustainability records than us, is that a good thing? Emissions go into the air and they're spread all around the world. And, you know, they don't stay state or region specific. They move around the world. So surely we should be encouraging our farmers to grow crops and produce beef and produce dairy and produce lamb and all of the good things that we do here. Surely we should be recognised that for the work that we've done.
Greg, well, I'm sure the argument would be made that's why we have the derogation. That is the reward and recognition, because we're one of only three. Now, other countries have derogation on different things as well. Let's be really clear about that. Yeah. But perhaps the reward for us being good boys and girls is that we get this derogation. But holding on to that derogation, I think, is going to be a serious problem over the next few years.
But we, you know, I was just about to say about, you know, our credentials. We do things very good here. We have to fine-tune things and we have to improve. As I said, these new 13 measures, they've only been there for the last 4 or 5 years. A lot of these measures are only really there for the last, you know, 9 months, since 10 months, since the start of this year. We don't know which one of those measures is going to be the silver bullet solution. So there's a lot of damage being done to this industry, and the repercussions and the knock-on effects to other parts of our industry because of this decision by the Commission. I'm not going to say I am going to say a certain amount of this is ideological thinking. You know, farmers are working hard, but you can only run a thriving business if you know certainty. And unfortunately, I do believe that this is going to create considerable uncertainty within our industry. And that's very, very unfortunate. No business would accept some of the terms and conditions that in 3 months you have to drastically change. And I do think, Greg, our farmers, they work hard. They're very conscientious of our environment. They know that we have to improve water quality. They know we have to improve biodiversity. They know we have to improve our emissions profile. But they also need a living. And we can't be green if we're in the red. Mm-hmm. And we need this just transition to help us on this route to produce more efficient food going forward.
Yeah, I mean, we have to wrap it up, but you would have heard yesterday the reports of it's going to cost Ireland €700 billion to get to net zero by 2050, and pretty much most of that, a quarter of it or a third of it being lumped onto to farmers. So it's going to be tough times ahead. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Paul O'Brien, thanks for your time this morning. I do appreciate it. He's IFA Environment Chair. 086 60 25000. WhatsApps and texts to that number. Donegal's actually not too bad when you look at the map, indeed. Much of Donegal is not included in it. There's three parcels in and around Milfordy, Fannad area, and then up around Mallon and another spot then as well. Chagask advised all farmers to push and increase until they start to tell us now to slow down. It is mixed messages, and that was alluded to there by Paul there. All right, so 086 60 25000. Coming up in the next few moments, we're going to be joined by pro boxer Jason Quigley. And we're going to be speaking about the return of pro boxing, a big boxing night to Letterkenny, to Donegal. It's been, I think, 13 years since the last pro card was put on here in Donegal. But it's back. It's coming back. All right. A listener has a phobia of rain. When I'm home, I clean. Night rain, it's worst. I've tried therapy. Okay. So they clean the house when it's raining. They find light rain worse. Have you got a phobia that's somewhat unusual? That's a nightmare for one, particularly in the part of the country we live in, and very little respite in the summer either. Greg, when did the maternity ward in LUH start making pregnant women go through the ED? A family member is almost 8 months pregnant, ran maternity to be told she had to go through the ED, where she had to wait 7 hours before she was sent through to maternity. I know this wasn't the case in January, as I had my baby at the end of January and needed to call them a week before I gave birth. I was told to come straight to maternity. When did this change? Well, it's been ongoing for a while. And it's not just if someone's 7, 8, 9 months pregnant and they need to go in. Unfortunately, if someone is has a suspected miscarriage, we've spoken to women who've had to go through ED, and it's a very difficult environment in any case, but particularly when you're not quite sure what's happening. You could be bleeding and having to go into the toilets or wait to get into the toilets. It's a horrible, shocking situation. And unfortunately, we've highlighted it on this programme on a number of occasions. We did get a press release which outlined the reasons as to why, but it's been in place for quite some time. When did it change? I can't put a figure on it or a date on it, but it certainly has been in that situation. It's been that way for a while. Gambling statistics, analysis for idiots. I'm not quite sure what that means, but anyway, thank you for your text. We do appreciate it. Right, okay. We're joined in studio by our next guest as they take their seat, and it is professional boxer Jason Quigley. Quigley. I'm going to have to do it twice.
Very good.
Jason, good morning to you. Great to have you in studio.
Likewise, great to be in here.
What's the story with you? What are you up to at the moment? Are you in training? Are you between bouts? Are you what?
Yeah, we're training now. I'm always staying
you're
in the gym.
Between bouts.
Yeah. Always between bouts, always staying in the gym, always staying ready, but... Yeah, we've got some, exciting news today for Donegal and Donegal Boxing.
You're not going to talk about your situation then. That's quite easy knowing you're in the media game as well, Jason. Isn't right? Enough about me. I'll come back to you.
I'll come back to you maybe.
Because we are talking about professional boxing returning to Donegal. It's a big deal, isn't it? It's been quite some time, Jason.
Yeah, I think it's 13 years right now since professional boxing has been in Donegal. And that was Paul McCluskey for a European title in the Aura Complex.
It was an EBU title, was it?
Yeah. So it was a fantastic night back then. I wasn't there myself, but I remember hearing all about it. And I think I was away myself on the national team boxing. So, but an unbelievable night. So it was super atmosphere, and That's what we're looking to bring back in here now again.
And it's good to see professional boxing returning to Ireland, isn't it? There's been some activity in Northern Ireland, of course, as well. But we had Katie Taylor's big performances, big shows. Another one coming up shortly, and a few other smaller shows as well. It's great to see this sport back live on the island.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Eddie Hearn actually came out recently there and says that Ireland need Katie Taylor for boxing, and that may be true right now at the minute, you know, in terms of like three arena big headline shows. But I want to throw another few fighters into the mix I want to bring Irish boxing back up to the level that it deserves to be, and I believe that it comes from the roots. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It comes from, you know, old school way of growing and building fighters is taking your base from you from the very start. You know, growing from where you're from and family and friends coming out to support you, buying the tickets.
Building your following. Yeah.
Along and let people come along on the journey with you to those stages where maybe you get to the States and fight for European world titles, whatever it may be.
Did you feel you missed that, Jason? Obviously, you know, you had great support through the amateurs, but, you know, we saw what happened with the likes of Steve Collins, Byron McGuigan and others, you know, they had their big nights in Ireland. Did you miss that a little bit, that you'd have, you know, your family and friends and pockets of supporters, but you can't always really have to travel to build your record?
Definitely, you know, looking back now on my career, of course, I don't know if I would change a whole lot in terms of, like, obviously it was a brilliant... It was a brilliant contract that I was offered, and going to the States and learning my trade over there, and being in the midst of fighting in the mecca of professional boxing from day one was great. But I would probably more of a business head on myself now, and more of an experienced head on myself. I would have liked to maybe negotiated my contract, whereas I would have been guaranteed maybe one or two fights at home a year as well. Yeah. And, you know, because... it's not easy, like, for people to fly to the States, and it's not easy to bring that fall on with you.
And you have to make extra sacrifices as well. I know it's all about sacrifice, but extra sacrifices in long periods away from home.
Yeah, without a doubt, it is a big sacrifice to make, and it mightn't look like that to people, you know, when they see you over in LA and doing all this stuff. And, you know, people don't realise the sacrifices that you do make. And, of course, it was my passion. It is what I love to do.
And just because it does form part of this conversation and about building fighters at home and their fan base, you talked about the contract that you received. Does any part of you wish that you'd went down the route sort of with Greensbury or Matchroom and got in domestic, you know, sort of got into a domestic kind of a rival? You know, you see the likes of Ben and Eubanks Jr. And there's a big domestic fight coming up over in Britain on Saturday. Do you have any regrets in that regard, or are you, now you're not finished yet, but you know, when you look back, do you know where I'm on about, like, you know, 100%. Your goals and you know,
without a shadow of a doubt, that's where excitement comes from.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? That's where the fan base and the following really does come from, as well as those fights where they know somebody from England that you're fighting.
Do you know,
it's not just like a Mexican that's coming in. They're not too sure of, you know. It definitely is something that I can't say that I regret it, because I did have a brilliant time over in the States, and I learned so much over there, and it was an unbelievable experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really, really was. But yes, a part of me would love to have done the other side of it as well. And that's where I'm looking at things now.
Because I think we as boxing fans were kind of robbed a little bit of the big nights. You know, I mean, obviously you delivered them eventually, but you know, that sort of, you need to buy into the story now, I think, with boxing a little bit as well. And I mean, obviously the Shane Mosley Jr. and that kind of stuff, you could, because of the name recognition, but just not quite that. I wonder how you get on against a... we talked about Billy Joe Saunders, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And stuff like that, of course.
That mix,
because that's very relevant to the people here. Like, they know him, they see the people, they know it's only across the water, and different things like that. Yeah. You know, it definitely is a much more exciting.
But anyway, this is what this is this initiative is about. And what's your involvement in it, Jason, in terms of putting these shows on?
Yeah, so I'm stepping into the promoting and management side of things as well. And we as Sheer Sports, along with Elite Sports, are going to be running this show. I'm a part of Sheer Sports in America, my management team.
Mm.
But I'm bringing Sheer Sports now into the promoting side of things. And this is going to be our first proper show now that we're promoting. And it's very passionate for me, you know, that I'm having it here in Donegal.
Yeah.
It means a lot to me. There's a lot of hunger there to make this show a success, and there's a lot of nerves there as well. Like, you know, it's a different kind of nerves than actually fighting yourself, that, you know, you're putting on a show and promoting a show that never obviously done this before. But I have a great team around me that we have Robert Diaz there from the States as well, who has been, I think he's an icon in professional boxing, been with Golden Boy for years, worked with world champions throughout his career. Robert Diaz is going to be there on the night. He's going to be helping us put the show together as well. He's a part of Sheer Sports. And yeah, it's very exciting. And it's something that I really want to do now. Amateur boxing is kind of hitting a bit of a standstill at the minute. And there's a lot of negative stuff going on.
A lot of toxicity there, isn't there?
You know,
is it in this and is it not in this?
Exactly. You know, and I really want to lift boxing in Donegal again, and really, because this is where I came from, this is where I had my first fights, and where I grew up. Like, so I really want to lift Donegal and inside amateur boxing and professional boxing, but I want this show to show young kids that there is possibilities out there. You know, it's not everything's happening on over in England, over in the States. I want to show them that it's here on their doorstep and encourage young kids to get into the gym and encourage young kids to get in there, get their license, get their medical, and give this sport a crack again. And that's where my passion is coming from. That's where this show is meaning a lot to me, and I really want this to be a big success.
And there's future world champions out there, all contenders. It's just a case of, you know, how you bring them through. And also, we know there's a huge boxing fraternity here in Donegal. We know charity boxing matches, white collar events are really, really well attended. This should be an absolute sellout. But as a promoter now, you want to see the tickets go out the door.
Of course,
it will happen. But you know, you just want to make sure that you're now. Joe Ward, former Irish amateur, he's 10 into his pro career. He's a hitter. He's knocked out more than I've lasted the distance with him. He's headlining the show on his first, because it's a big night for him, his first professional fight in Irish soil.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have Joe up here in Donegal headlining this show. You know, Joe Ward is one of the most talented and successful amateur fighters to come out of Ireland. You know, he's a world medalist, European medalist, and an Olympian for Ireland. And he's an incredible talent. He signed with Lou DiBella over in the States in New York, and we've been working together with Lou and Joe's team to bring him back to Ireland. This is going to be his first fight back in Ireland. And as it says,
good to see you made it easy for him.
Yeah. You know,
11, his opposition, 11 fights, 10 KOs. I don't think you're going to need the final bell on that one.
No, this is a fight for Joe Ward. Like, Joe's at a stage in his career now, he's about 30 years of age, and he's at that stage where he needs these competitive fights. And this is the type of show that we want to put on here in Donegal. We want to put on competitive fights. We don't want boys just getting in there and blowing their opponent out in one or two rounds. We want to put on competitive fights because these fighters are world-class level.
And also, you want to give people the opportunity, just like we've been talking about, to see fighters early in the career that they may see in really big fights later on, and James McGivern's among them, I'd suggest.
Yeah, and we just got great news last night that James McGivern is going to be fighting Josh Sanford for the Celtic title in the Aura Centre as well. So it's going to be a cracking fight. James, you know, you have so many fighters on this card that you will see on the likes of DAZN, on the likes of Sky Sports, fighting for major titles. You know, I have massive belief in these fighters, their skill, their talent, the way that they carry themselves. They're incredible. Like, they really, really are. And it's going to be brilliant to have that type of boxing here locally. And then for the people that come to the show, come to the event, seeing them then being like, oh, we've seen them in the Aura Centre. And then go and seeing them then live on DAZN and Sky Sports and on the TV.
Well, you feel you've got a bit of direct involvement in their career. It's a funny thing. It's just when you've seen it live, you feel that sort of. You see it even with people that go who will get it. Is say if you go to a concert of someone who you're not necessarily a huge fan of them, but by the time you walk out, you find yourself listening to them on Spotify. Yeah, yeah. It's the same, but in sport. The Walsh brothers, Liam and Paddy, both undefeated, both big prospects as well.
Yeah, they're both brothers from down in Kerry. They're a great talent. Both of them are national amateur champions and started out their career now as professionals. Very talented lads that can go a long way in the sport as well. They bring a good following with them. They're exciting. They love to fight, and they're going to be in cracking fights as well.
Yeah. So it's a card of prospects really there, isn't it?
Yeah, we have Tyler Jolly there as well, Scottish lad who's he actually holds the record for fastest knockout in the Commonwealth Games. He's very exciting, very talented. He can whack, he can punch very hard. So his fights might not go the distance, but he's a talented lad, he's exciting, and I believe that he's definitely one to look out for on the show.
Brilliant stuff. It's going to be a great night. And I think the Aura Leisure Centre, that's where it is, isn't it? The Aura?
Yeah.
It is. It's laid out well for it, actually. I think I can imagine where the ring might be versus where the seating might be. So you're right in on top of it.
It's a fantastic venue. I actually only went down there 2 weeks ago to suss it out and to have a good look at it. And, you know, people, the people in Nara couldn't have been better with the help that they were giving us. But, you know, there's tiered seating and everything that comes out from the walls, and you're looking straight down into the ring. We're going to have a few wee new things in there as well, maybe like a stage and the lights and everything for the
well, we
the
need
ringing.
A bit of, we need a bit of pizzazz. Well,
of course, of course. Now, there's no point in just showing up and going through the mill. We've got to put a bit of sparkle on
Brilliant stuff. Right, so it's going to be, and boxing has to be, boxing shows now have to have that bit of razzmatazz. It's just the way it is, isn't it? It's all very, very exciting. What about getting tickets? Because, you know, there's not unlimited capacity here. It can seat 2,000, can it?
Yeah, I think
that's pretty impressive. So it's going to be some atmosphere. If people want a sense of what it's like going down to the three or whatever, you get 2,000 people into that room, you'll know what a big night of boxing feels like.
It's going to be
electric. If you've seen it on the telly, you'll get the sense of it.
It's going to be like, you know, and that's the thing with the tiered seating and it looking down into the ring, you know, it is definitely going to be an electric atmosphere. It's going to be an exciting atmosphere. And it's going to have the quality fights to go along with it as well. Yeah. You know, so tickets will be on sale in the next week. We're just getting everything together there now with the tickets, and we're released. Everything is just released today for the event.
Brilliant.
And
it's fantastic to see you back. It's great that you're involved as well too, because you bring the star power there as well. Are you going to do the ring announcing, are you?
I don't know if I'm going to do the ring announcing. I could get a nice suit or a tuxedo there and jump in.
I can see you. I can see you giving
maybe
yourself...
Maybe sing a song
and
a ring.
No, we'll stick to the ring announcing.
Just stick to the ring
announcing.
We'll not go too much.
It's like I carried away. Right, okay. So you'll let us know when tickets go on sale. I'd say they'll go out like hotcakes. It's a great lineup, real prospects, people that you can follow the career then from here on. Would you like to have seen, or maybe future shows, maybe a little more sort of Donegal involvement, or what's the story?
That is
there?
The vision that I have now. You know, after this show, I would love to have a 3-4 events a year in Donegal.
Wow, okay.
You know, and bring in big title fights to Donegal. And this, I want this to be the start of it. I want this to get the ball rolling now, get some exciting fights, get people talking about the show and understanding that it is a great night, it's a great event, and it's one that they can remember, and bring that on into next year and have a couple of shows.
It's the beginning of a really exciting journey for you as well.
Yeah.
Any idea when we might see you back in the ring, not with a microphone and an ill-fitting tuxedo?
Well, obviously, right now, me is always in the gym staying ready. We've had a couple of talks about possible fights in the future, probably not this side of Christmas.
Right.
And kind of works out well because I really want to put everything into this show now and then November 18th. But yeah, maybe the start of next year we could be looking to get the gloves laced back up again.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, well listen, it's great as you say that you can focus on this now and enjoy some time at home too as well, which is really important. All right, Jason, we look forward to it. Let us know when the tickets are available. We'll let everybody else know, and I'm sure it's going to be just a fantastic night. And if people want to feel and you've seen it, you watched it on the TV, you want that sense of big time boxing, well, it's back for the Rumble in the Hills. Jason, thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Lovely. Thanks for having me on, lad.
Thanks again to Jason Quigley for calling in. Great to see him. Looking in great shape. Looks ready to go himself. But we'll not see him lacing up till in the professional ring, of course, until after Christmas. But he's got that show to look forward to. I was watching Beckham last night and his OCD was interesting to watch. It really must be a very tiring condition to have. I feel for your caller who said she had a phobia of rain. I'd imagine her mind is in a constant state of alert living in Ireland. Indeed, yeah, it would be a really challenging phobia to have in this part of the world too. And very frustrating and perhaps even debilitating. It's not one I've heard of before, but we are all different and have all our challenges, and that's a particular one in terms of that phobia. Look, keep your texts calling in. We're going to take one final break before the news and obituary notices. Please stay with us. A very important and interesting hour coming up after the news.